help with the video to watch.
Going to America and going to London, speak with a flourish American accent so as not to arouse suspicion. Sir Fenn is the greatest accent coach in the world.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
You would like to buy a hamburger.
No, no, no. Let's break it down.
Hamburger.
It's not Damburger. Hamburger.
I'm not saying Damburger. I said I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy the hamburger.
Hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
Maybe we should stop.
We don't quit. We do not quit. Again. Again.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
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 The burger.
First, I'm going to give you some background to the resource, and then we're going to go on and have some first-hand experience of some of the activities in the resource. So, first of all, for the background, I thought we'd look at a little bit about what the research tells us. First of all, migrants think pronunciation is important. So previous research, mainly in the Canadian context, has indicated that migrants really see pronunciation as a priority and they really think it's very important. And surprisingly, I thought it was surprisingly to me, a vast majority of migrants actually aspire to achieve native-like pronunciation. A number of the participants in our study have also, not many of them said they want native pronunciation, but they have indicated that they aspire to good pronunciation skills. And here's an example of a lovely quote that I think sums it all up. If you learn correct pronunciation to speak with somebody else in society, that's the most important thing. So other research in the Canadian context indicates that despite them thinking pronunciation is important and despite their high aspirations for pronunciation, many migrants are in fact disappointed with their pronunciation skills even after many hours of English lessons. In the research they talk about how, you know, they're disappointed that they wanted to have better pronunciation skills. Now, I think it's generally accepted that native-like pronunciation isn't necessarily a realistic goal for our learners, and that not very many would actually achieve that. And I think the being comfortably intelligible to a range of listeners is a more realistic goal that we would aim for in the classroom. But even that, it seems, isn't reached by a lot of learners. And research in the Canadian context has indicated that for migrants, they feel that pronunciation problems not only contribute to communication breakdown, that they're actually the main cause. So there are a number of migrants that think that. So it's a very important area to look at. Here's an example from the data where pronunciation has actually contributed to communication breakdown. So the interviewer says, you're upset. Yeah, because my what is calling niece. Your niece. Yeah. Your siblings, your brother's or sister's daughter. Yeah. Oh, no, my leg it was. Oh, your knees. Yeah, my knees it was sick. And so this was directly attributable to the way that that person pronounced the ending of knees. And so it sounded like niece. And in this case, the transcriber and the proofreader and the interviewer all thought that that person was talking about niece in the first instance. And then as the conversation went on, realised that the word was knees. So even a very simple little thing with a sound like that can actually trip up the communication process, and so that you think they're talking about something completely different. Another thing that the research tells us is that explicit teaching does work. And there has been some recent studies out about the effectiveness of explicit pronunciation teaching, and that there are improvements gained by teaching pronunciation, different aspects of pronunciation. However, despite all this, teachers are reluctant to teach pronunciation. And it's a common theme, not only in Australia, but there's been research done in Australia and in all sorts of different settings around the world, that really this is an area that teachers feel reluctant to teach. Some of the reasons are a lack of training in the area. And so you might do a little bit in your TESOL course. Some teachers, all they've done on pronunciation is a little bit of phonetic transcription. And they hate it, and therefore they think if that's pronunciation, I want nothing to do with it. There's only a very few tertiary courses in TESOL that include a subject that's specifically related to pronunciation. And so it's an area that isn't trained. Teachers also say they don't know where to start. They don't know what to work on, and it's too hard to work on in a mixed classroom because there's people from all different language backgrounds and everybody's got different problems, and some have problems and some don't, so how can you work on it in a classroom? So, however, although teachers are very reluctant to teach pronunciation, it doesn't mean teachers aren't interested in teaching pronunciation, and this year we've had more requests for pronunciation PDs than we could manage. And by the end of the year, we will have done 7 separate pronunciation PDs plus a 2-day course in pronunciation. So the interest is there, and everybody's keen to learn about it and keen to teach. So we're hoping this resource might address that need. So, and we want to give the teachers confidence to teach pronunciation in the classroom and give it a go. So when thinking about what to put in the resource, we thought of a number of things that the teachers need to know how to do to be able to teach pronunciation. First of all, it's important to be able to recognise the features that affect a learner's intelligibility, because anecdotally from the PDs that I've been running, people say, well, I listen to someone and I haven't got a clue, I know they're hard to understand, or I don't really know what it is that makes them understand, so I don't really know what to teach them to help that. And so that's a really important thing. The second one is to be able to establish priorities for different learners or groups of learners. So if you've got a particular learner with pronunciation issues, how do you work out what to work on first, what to work on at all? If you've got a group of mixed learners, how do you get a thing to work on in the classroom that addresses everybody's needs? So that's something else teachers need to know. They need to be able to assist learners to recognise and use different features of pronunciation as well. And I think this is a scary thing, because if you're not really confident with pronunciation and one of your learners is having difficulties, and then you're the person that to give them feedback back on what they need to do to improve, but you don't necessarily know what that is, then it's easier not to do anything, because it gets a bit scary. And teachers also need to provide opportunities for learners to practice their newly learnt skills. And it's very important that in this particular area that the learners get to practice what they're learning. At one conference I went to, it was mentioned that you need to say something 400 times before it becomes automatic. So think about that in your classroom. If you, you might correct someone once and then you think, oh, that's right, they've got that, but they need to say it 400 times. And another one, if we think about choral repetition, where you might get the whole classroom repeating together, a person who's really up in that area said that, that you need to say the same thing over for 15 minutes non-stop before the neural pathways start developing and that becomes an automatic thing. So pronunciation, I don't want to put you off, but pronunciation needs a lot of practice. And so it's not good enough just to sort of randomly select something to correct with one person and then move on without practicing and extending that ability. And the last one, but not at all the least important, is to be able to integrate pronunciation as an important part of regular lessons. And I think this is the only realistic option in the AMEP classes where you've got lots of other things to do, you haven't got extra time to spend on purely pronunciation things. And this is the emphasis of our resource. All of these things, recognising features, establishing priorities, ways of actually showing and assisting learners in how to recognise different features, providing them with opportunities to practice and in all of the activities we do, integrating that activity into a regular lesson. So let's have a look at the structure of the book or the resource. In the first part of it, we actually just talk as a general couple of chapters about general issues to do with pronunciation with adult learners and teaching adult learners pronunciation. We then have part two, which is the more interactive part where we've got a CD that will accompany the resource, so it lets you listen to authentic speech samples and then analyse them, and there's a little bit of theory as well in there to do, depending on what the reader needs to do. So we're not saying you have to read it from cover to cover, you can dip in and out of this section wherever is needed. Then there's some practical pronunciation advice and activities in part three. We have a chapter that's just on techniques, so it actually gives sort of just general things that are useful when teaching pronunciation, and then we've got a chapter on activities for teaching stress and activities for teaching sound. So, and there's lots and lots of activities in there. We also have part four, which outlines, I think Linda mentioned it earlier, the pronunciation issues for speakers from different language backgrounds, and we've focused on the five language backgrounds that represented the highest number of participants, so Mandarin, Arabic, Vietnamese, Korean and Thai. And I'll go into more detail about that later. And then we have an appendix, which it has an annotated bibliography, where some experienced teachers who were teacher researchers on the project have actually reviewed different pronunciation resources and books from the teacher's perspective. So we're covering quite a large amount of ground. Okay, now what you've got as a handout here is a sample of what we look at in part two. So I thought we'd give you an example from the PDs and the feedback that I've got from those. Teachers have really enjoyed and appreciated listening to authentic speech samples and talk. So we listened to samples that actually were examples of particular difficulties, and I think it helps understand and get experience in analysing what learners do. And so what we've built that into this resource. And we've taken authentic speech samples from the project that illustrate different features. So I thought I'd get you to do some listening today. And this is what you've got. It's an example of what it might look like in the resource, but the resource is still it's still getting there. It's written, but it's being prettied up at the moment. So now what I'm going to do is play you some sound files and get you to work through this. I think it's right. Or do you need to take it? Okay, now when there's a bit of theory that comes before these listening tasks in the resource. So we talk about syllables and which ones is one is stressed, and so there's theory that's gone on before and some activities to do in the resource so that by the time you get to this you know what you're listening for. So we're sort of putting you in the middle here, but just to give you an idea of the sort of things that will have. So the first, going backwards. So I'm going to play you a track, and I want you to listen. And then the first question on your sheet is, what does it sound like? So I want you to write down what it sounds like when you listen.
A lemon tree is...
You want it again?
Yes. A lemon tree is...
What does it sound like? A lemon tree? Okay. So, we've got, what does it sound like? A lemon tree. And then the next question is... But what does it sound like? Okay, it sounds like a lemon trees. So the next question is, how many syllables are there and which syllable is stressed? I'll play it again.
Same one.
Yeah, same one.
Four.
All right.
A lemon trees.
How many syllables? Now, remembering there will have been some activities to know about counting syllables and finding stressed syllables before this. So they've got four syllables. Which one's stressed? Second one's stressed. Do you all agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, if we go on to the next step, listen again. So that's you on to the other, the next page.
A lemon trees.
Sorry, I'll go back. Now I'll play, listen again.
No, I finished my elementary school. I just straight go to the art school.
Okay, next question. What did she mean to say? Elementary. And the next question, what's gone wrong with her syllable stress pattern? What's she done wrong? She took the stress on the second syllable. Where should it be?
Third
syllable. Okay, and so it answers that question. She put the stress on the second syllable instead of the third, and she needs to change which syllable she's stressing. So in the context, it was quite easy to understand what she was talking about, and you said you heard elementary. Anyway, your brain was probably thinking, what is she trying to say? Or, However, this is the sort of thing, even though in the context we can understand what she's saying, it actually adds to the load of the listener, because you've got to take that split second to think, oh, what was that? And then go back and listen, and in the next breath she's gone on with something else, and you think, I'm behind, I'm catching up, and then there'll be another little thing. So even though you might be able to work it out, it still interferes with communication. Let's have a listen to the next one. Oh, actually, on the bottom it says, this learner is a Mandarin speaker. For further information about Mandarin speakers, see part 4. So after each of the examples that we have in the resource, the reader is then referred to part 4, where we have the summaries of the issues for the different language groups. And as an example of what is listed for Mandarin speakers, I've put them up here, and these are based on the analysis, which I'll talk a little bit more in detail about later, the analysis in the data of where communication broke down and what features actually contributed to that. And so for Mandarin speakers, we consonants and clusters at the ends of the words was the one that most frequently contributed to communication breakdown. Then there were vowels, then there were challenging consonants, and then stress patterns. So this is an example of a stress pattern issue. Okay, let's listen to the next one. So for this one's sort of focusing on listening to vowels, and so I'll just play it for you, and you've got to listen to the vowel in the missing word and see what you think.
What TV shows do you watch? What do you like?
Recently, I just watched The Shield.
The time?
Lots of Shield.
Okay, the bell. So what does it sound like?
Shift?
Shift? What vowel do you hear in this word?
E.
Or E. She. Yeah, no, cross between E and E maybe. Yeah. And what does the word sound like? Shift? Okay, all right. It seems that the interviewer is confused by this. You hear her go, sorry, she doesn't know what she's saying. Listen to what happens when the learner provides a little bit more information.
In a lot of shift in...
What Master Chef?
Master Chef,
yeah.
Okay, so what has gone wrong with the vowel?
It's a consonant too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Because with the longer vowel, you drop down to that voice, because vowel's a voice, so the consonants need to sound voiced as well.
Do you want to have another listen?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, the...
What TV shows do you watch? What do you like?
Recently, I just watched The Shift.
The time?
In a lot of Shift.
It's a longish vowel. Yeah. And then the next one.
In a lot of Shift. In...
Master Chef, yeah.
Okay, so what's gone wrong with the vowel? What vowel has she used?
E
or E. And what vowel should have she used?
Yeah.
So these are the sorts of activities we've got in the resource so that teachers, you can either use it to work through individually or you can use it as a professional resource for a group of teachers and use the process to go through to train groups of teachers in listening to and analysing what's going on in a learner's pronunciation. And again, she was a Mandarin speaker again, and so you referred to the Mandarin section in part 4. So we'll listen to one more. So we've got another one on there. Now this is the one I have to turn up. Okay, this is a soft one, so we've turned it up. So in this one, I just want you to listen to it and think, what words do you hear? What before you think about the consonant clusters in there? So just on the first thing, what do you think she's saying? Oh, it's loud.
I got an airplane. What I think. I got an eggplant. What I think. I got an eggplant. What I think.
What it sounds like. So what it sounds like. I caught an airplane. I cooked in a light plane. I caught an airplane. Any others? Airplane. Eggplant. Okay, so the next question is, what consonant clusters does that learner use? Now, a consonant cluster, you will have, if you've used the resource sort of through going from the beginning of this part to the end, a consonant cluster is two consonants together without a vowel in between. So airplane, there would be a pl in there. Eggplant, there'd be a good and a pl. So in what you heard her say, what sort of consonant clusters are you hearing? Play it again.
I got an eggplant. What I think.
No, she said, I cooked the eggplant. No. Okay, so what you're hearing in there.
Good,
and a plot, or maybe just a plot. Yeah, depending on what words you hear her say. Let's have a listen. So for this one, there'll be answers at the end of the chapter as to what she said. And Donna, you get the door prize because I couldn't.
Is it a problem?
Yeah. So it was. I couldn't explain. So rather than eggplant, cooking eggplant, it's, yeah, or airplanes. So what's gone wrong with the consonant cluster in the middle of the word she meant to say? Yeah, so she's left out a. So she just got the plug. You were. In. Yeah. Okay, you can hear a schwa in there. What about in the middle of explain? So we heard eggplant, so there might have been something going on there as well. Yes, explain. Yeah. I think it sounds like she's actually cut off the air for that. It's like a glottal thing and then explain. Yeah, yeah. So of course there are answers in the back, and this is a Vietnamese learner, and it refers the reader across to part 4, which goes through all of the other issues that Vietnamese learners might have. Now, just a little word about. I had one other thing, one to play, but. I've forgotten to play it, but that's all right. Just now, you've seen this sort of thing in other people's presentations, and I don't want to scare you, but I wanted to say a little bit about how I analyse the data for part 4 in particular, and to decide which features to focus on in the resource, because it doesn't have everything in it about English pronunciation. It just what we wanted to focus on were those features that affect intelligibility the most. And so we went through the data and had a look at those places that it looked like communication had broken down in some way. The first example on the board here is where you can see the TR is the transcriber. So these are just general transcribers that transcribe for a living. So they're not necessarily language teachers or people with any sort of experience listening to accents. And then the top one, the transcriber is written like, and then the proofreader, the research assistant's gone back and thought, well, I hear place. And so there's a difference between what the transcriber transcribed and what the proofreader heard. And so I found all of those things in the data and listened to them, and the ones that the participant's pronunciation actually contributed to that confusion, then I analysed those, and that's how we got the features to work on in the resource, and how we got the features to summarise in part 4, where we look at the different language backgrounds. The second one, the transcriber couldn't understand it at all. You see unclear diction, so they wrote that they couldn't work it out. And these are, considering a transcriber might be able to listen to it a few times, like, you know, when you're transcribing stuff, you play it again and you think, you know, what was that, and you listen to it a few times. So that person wasn't able to get it. And then the proofreader thought it might have been get dressed. And it was actually graduate. So she graduated a master degree rather than get dressed. So there's a real issue there. There's something going on with the pronunciation that's contributed to the communication breakdown. So they're the sorts of things that I analysed in coming up with the what to include and with the summaries. And also wherever an interviewer was confused. And so the niece and knees one, that was a bit of confusion. The shift one was confusion. So those sort of ones I picked out as well. And where it was related to pronunciation, it wasn't always related to pronunciation, but where it was, where there was a clear link, then I analysed that and looked at the features that actually contributed to that communication breakdown. And so, for part 4 of the resource, I came up with a number of features and that actually contributed to the communication breakdown. And on these graphs I'm going to show you are for the 5 different language backgrounds that we looked at. Across the bottom are the features that actually contributed to the communication breakdown. So we've got word final consonants and consonant clusters. Challenging consonants, that's where the learner has trouble with a particular consonant in all wherever they say it. Vowels and stress patterns. And stress patterns both in individual word stress patterns or stress patterns across connected speech. And so I showed you the 4 points for the Mandarin speakers that as they appear in the written form, and these are the graphs that they're taken from. So you can see for the Mandarin speakers, the big mama is the word final consonants and consonant clusters, but then vowels and challenging consonants also contributed fairly frequently to communication breakdown, and stress patterns were a little bit less. For the Arabic speakers, it's a little bit different, but still word final consonants and consonant clusters are a main player. Challenging consonants, vowels and stress patterns are a bit higher than for the Mandarin. But still, the word final consonants and consonant clusters are the highest ones. Then for the Vietnamese, we can see the word final consonants and consonant clusters are a huge thing. I think we all know this anecdotally from experience. Challenging consonants and vowels. Now, there's no stress there. And with the Vietnamese analysis, there's only 17 of the top things that I analysed. A lot of them were in a lower proficiency classes and had to use interpreters for the interviews. So I didn't have a lot of data to analyse for the Vietnamese speakers, but they do have issues with stress patterns as well, but just this data doesn't show it. From other research indicates that stress patterns in individual words and stress patterns across connected speech are an issue for the Vietnamese speakers. The Korean speakers, a little bit different profile. The vowels there seem to be more of an issue. Word final consonants still playing, stress patterns more than challenging consonants. So a little bit of a different mix for the Korean speakers. And then the Thai speakers, again, word final consonants and consonant clusters are high up there, and challenging consonants and vowels and stress patterns to a lesser degree. So, in part four, I've actually ordered the pronunciation issues in the order in which their frequency indicates from most frequent to least frequent in the analysis. And each of those features is described in the different difficulties they might have with word final consonants. For example, the Thai speakers would leave them off. The Arabic speakers might add an extra syllable at the end or in between the consonant clusters. So all those different little intricacies are described in part four, but part four isn't huge. Concisely, that's the word I'm trying to find. And also a little bit of a reason why, because I think it helps to understand why learners are having these difficulties. Just a little bit of information about how these things work in their own language and why they might have trouble pronouncing, for example, consonant clusters at the ends of words. A Thai speaker might have trouble because there are no consonant clusters at the ends of words in Thai. And there are only a very few consonants that occur at the end of the word in Thai. So when they come to speak English and have to put all the different sounds on the ends of words that English requires, then it's very difficult. So in part four, we have a list of issues from most frequent to least frequent in our data, and then we have an explanation of those issues and maybe why. And then for each feature, we then refer the reader to a section in part three, which talks about teaching pronunciation. And this is the most important part, because we don't want to just be able to analyse everybody's speech like able speech pathologists do. We want to be able to teach the features and have practical things in the classroom to be able to use in the classroom. So that takes us on to part three. And what we've aimed at in this is practical pronunciation advice and activities. So it's not something you can hand over to your students as a teaching resource. It's for the teachers to get lots of ideas on what they can do in the classroom. The emphasis is on integrating the pronunciation into the general classroom activities. So even though some of them might look like pronunciation activities as such, there's always a little section at the end that says extension, and that little section, if it is a pronunciation activity, it'll give you an idea of how to integrate it into the classroom or how to extend it to a more difficult level. There are different activities to suit different levels of pronunciation proficiency, and as I said, suggestions for extending the activities to provide practice at a more advanced level. And so the three chapters in part three are preparing for pronunciation. And this one had, the first one, chapter one, is preparing for pronunciation. It sort of goes through a few different techniques and different principles and approaches to teaching pronunciation. So it sort of gives you the tools of the trade to be able to teach pronunciation. Chapter two looks more at stress, both word stress and stress across connected speech. And then chapter three looks at consonants and vowels and teaching those. But also the emphasis is on integrating pronunciation into the general classroom rather than pronunciation as a standalone thing. And I think that's really important because in the AMEP classrooms there's lots to do, there's not a lot of time, and to be able to have pronunciation integrated and as putting it up there as an important thing to learn as part of the language is very important. And I think this quote by a famous teacher researcher who's become the syllable queen of the northern suburbs, I think it's not just about providing opportunity but teaching them how to speak and embedding that whole process into what we do each day. So it's not a pronunciation class, but the points are covered every day as we teach in an integrated way. So that's the emphasis of the resource. Would you like to say anything else, Linda? Add anything or?
No. Except to let them all know that you'll be getting a free copy. each centre will be sent a copy together with the CD with the sound files. We certainly hope, although we are awaiting confirmation, that it will also be available in downloadable form on whatever website will be available to the programme next year for professional development. In addition, it may also be possible to buy. So we hope to have it out. Well, we'll definitely have it out at the end of this year. We hope to have it in a sort of a completed form by the end of this month, and then it just goes through the normal final processes. So it should be on a shelf near you soon.
Are there any questions? I finished early.
Well, we have to start drinking early.
There won't be any questions now you've said that.